Well, I've been an activist for a long time. My father died when I was very young, and my mother had come to China after all my siblings had been born. She was 44. I'm sure they didn't expect me. I'm sure I was a bit of a surprise. But because I've grown up sort of between these two worlds of being an American, but having a mother who basically was a nice Chinese peasant, as a Chinese girl, she had never been educated, never taught to read or write in Chinese. And I spent a lot of my life literally translating for her between Chinese and English, and being between these different worlds, between childhood and adulthood, between the suburbs where my family bought a home, and then every summer being shipped out to be with relatives because my mom, as a single mom, had a hard time watching after this young child at the same time trying to earn a living. And then between the cultures, someone who was very traditionally Chinese and a very American experience. So I feel very lucky of having grown up in California when public education was well-funded, when the public schools were some of the best in the nation, and being able to go to the University of California on scholarship. And I tell people that my mother was illiterate. We were very poor because my father died when I was very young. I'm sure we would have qualified for welfare, but because the schools were excellent, I always had hope for a better future. And so I'm hoping to keep Oakland as a city of dreams. And I'm always have been a fighter and an activist for public education. So even when I was young and in high school, I worked against the first Governor Reagan, because I was working with special ed kids and had worked on a project. And when Reagan came in, he cut a lot of the special ed programs. He cut a lot of the programs for the mentally ill. And I just happened to be a young high school volunteer. I thought I was going to be a special ed teacher. So I had a special project where we gave hospice care, basically, to parents who had autistic children. And when I found out that the governor then, Reagan, was going to cut the programs, I did my first little very naive petition going door to door in my city asking people to ask the governor not to cut the social services and the support for special ed kids. And that was my first political act. And I did that as a young Democrat at the time. But my real political start happened at Cal. I was able to be educated at Sproul Hall, so I learned about the war. And at that time, because I had been, my role model, my real hero had been Martin Luther King as a little girl growing up and watching the civil rights movement on TV, I wanted to go help in West Oakland like a lot of kids at that time. We all thought we were the continuation of the civil rights movement, so we were going into West Oakland. We'd started tutorial programs. I had started a project where first we started with the kids, but then we realized a lot of the parents were having a hard time getting a job at the post office. So I worked on with a couple of other students where we worked on a test preparation class for the parents, and we're pretty successful in getting our kids' parents past the civil service test and into the post office. And then while we were doing that, the city started tearing down West Oakland, and we actually used to help them write and reproduce their leaflets to fight redevelopment. And I was very sad when I came back to Oakland and saw that most of the neighborhoods where I used to live had been torn down, and they still hadn't rebuilt them. And so that got me into community organizing in a very real way. And so that opened me up that summer to my husband, now was the coordinator of the community projects office, and he said, "You're already doing these tutorials in West Oakland. Can you help us do some stuff in Chinatown?" And I finally began to understand a little bit about Chinese American history and why my family had been so divided, and why I was the first person born in this country. And I got involved in founding the first Asian American history class when the Black Studies program was turned down. We figured they had really well-known professors and textbooks, and all we had were Xeroxes from the Bancroft Library. That if we didn't join in with them to demand ethnic studies or Asian American studies, it would never happen. And so that was probably the most radicalizing thing, being on strike against the university, demanding that they include our history in the books, and demanding that they let us do work in our community as part of our education. And I would say that my proudest moments, and I believe that a lot of education has swung to and for. As a school board member, I required some service learning as a graduation requirement for high school students. As a Berkeley student, we demanded that the students have some opportunity to volunteer in the community as part of the courses that we were sponsoring. And many of the programs in San Francisco and Oakland Chinatown today are a result of those student projects, the Asian Health Clinic, the OASIS tutorial program in that school where we serve just one of the top national awards for raising the scores of poor and immigrant kids. A lot of the work that we did later became institutionalized. But I didn't get involved in politics, and I only got involved in the formal series of politics as being a union organizer, maybe supporting this initiative. I wrote a couple of initiatives. I wrote a health protection initiative in San Francisco, but not as a candidate. And I never thought of myself as a candidate, even though my husband was one of the first Asian American student body presidents at Berkeley. It wasn't something I was interested in. And the only reason I became involved is because I wanted to save the music program in the Oakland Public Schools. And I helped organize a group of mothers during a hiatus, the first time probably my entire life that I didn't have a job and wasn't working.
What had been your job during that time period?
You know, over the years, I've done a lot of jobs. I'm mostly in community organizing. I was a health advocate. I did a lot of health education work. And as a result of some of that, I was hired by the Service Employees Union to be one of their first Asian organizers. So I did a lot of work in educating immigrants to their legal rights as workers and help and some major actions that SEIU did. The current Justice for Janitors movement is based on a lot of the techniques I helped develop for the San Francisco janitors in terms of outreaching to the community. I was asked to help save the hospital workers union when it was under trusteeship and when the hospitals were trying to take away health benefits from the healthcare workers. So it was just a continuum of organizing, but I ended up paying off my husband's medical school loans and having a little time, and I thought I would do some work in the community. And a friend of mine said, you know, they're going to cut the music program. And as a little girl, I'd always wanted to take music, but I knew our family couldn't afford the instruments and the rental. And that sort of just touched my heart in a way that maybe other projects didn't. So I went out and got some friends, and we leafed all the schools, and 700 parents showed up at the school board meeting. I realized we had a movement going, and so we organized an ongoing parent group called Save Our Schools. And out of that came the realization that there were no parents on the school board. And so I thought, okay, I'll run for school board for a term, and we'll fix the schools, and then I'll go on with my life. But little did I know that I'd end up being a leader of the State Urban School Board Association, then the National Urban School Board Association. I would be appointed by the Clinton administration to be on one of the national Title I's rules-making committees. And so for the next 12 years, I became a full-time volunteer school board member, and that kept me in politics.